Welcome to episode 492 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is day 97 in our series, 100 Days in the New Testament, and we have only three books remaining for us to consider. However, before moving on to the third epistle of John, let us step back for a moment and consider how the entire New Testament affirms what Jesus says in John 10, verse 10. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Today's top 10 list.
10 New Testament verses for abundant living.
Number 1.
Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This must be the rule of our life when ordering our priorities. Yet it is wrong to think that this is just another priority to fit onto our list of priorities and to put at the top. Instead, in everything we do, we seek first the kingdom of God. If we put God's kingdom first, he promises heavenly treasure, rest in divine provision, and fulfillment of the highest purpose for humanity, fellowship with him and being part of his kingdom. This choice to seek first the kingdom of God is the fundamental choice everyone makes when they first repent and are converted. Yet every day after that, our Christian life will either reinforce that decision or deny it.
Number 2.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. The specific ancient Greek word used here for new implies freshness, or the opposite of outworn, rather than recent or different. It isn't that this commandment was just invented, but that it was presented in a new, fresh way. We might have thought the new commandment was for us to love Jesus in an outstanding way. Instead, Jesus directs them and us to love one another, emphasizing that there should be a special presence of love among followers of Christ. When we love one another, our lives will be full.
Number 3.
Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In this text, the Apostle Paul warns us that the world system, the popular culture and manner of thinking that is in rebellion against God, will try to conform us to its ungodly pattern, and that process must be resisted. The battleground between conforming to the world and being transformed is within the mind of the believer. Christians must think differently. The problem with many Christians is they live life based on feelings, or they're only concerned about doing. The life based on feelings says, how do I feel today? How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my wife? How do I feel about worship? How do I feel about the preacher? This life by feeling will never know the transforming power of God because it ignores the renewing of the mind. The life based on doing says, don't give me your theology. Just tell me what to do. Give me the 4 points for this and the 7 keys for that. This life of doing will never know the transforming power of God because it ignores the renewing of the mind. God is never against the principles of feeling and doing. He's a God of powerful and passionate feeling, and he commands us to be doers. Yet feelings and doing are completely insufficient foundations for the Christian life. The first questions cannot be how do I feel or what do I do. Rather, they must be what is true here. What does God's word say?
Number 4.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Paul here teaches the great principle of regeneration. Jesus changes those who come to him by faith and who are in Christ. The saved are not just forgiven, they're changed into a new creation. And as a new creation, one can enjoy a transformed and fulfilling life.
Number 5.
Galatians 5 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul realized that on the cross, a great exchange occurred. He gave Jesus his old try-to-be-right-before-God-by-the-law life, and it was crucified on the cross. Then Jesus gave Paul his life. Christ came to live in him. So Paul's life wasn't his own anymore. It belonged to Jesus. Paul didn't own his own life. That life died. He simply managed the new life Jesus gave him. Whether we try to do the right thing before we encounter Jesus, or whether we lived in abject rebellion, unless we are crucified with Christ, we cannot truly experience abundant life.
Number 6.
Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. The Greek word for workmanship is poema. This is where we get the English word poem. We are God's poem. We are his work of art. We're not like a statue or a sculpture, but more like a song. We're not a finished product, but one that is continually being shaped or refined. We're not saved by our works, but once we are saved, we are meant to work. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are meant to get to work serving. And you might ask, well, what work should I be doing? Paul says here, the good works you are to do, God prepared beforehand that you should do. God has a call on your life that is specific. You've been uniquely wired and placed uniquely in your family, community, school, job, and church by God. Are you living your life on purpose? God designed you to do what he designed you to do. When you do it, you're a living life to the full.
Number 7.
Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We need not rely on our own strength. We have access to divine strength, and that divine strength can impart the ability to live life to the full.
Number 8.
Colossians 3 verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. When we work for God, we will be blessed in our endeavors.
Number 9.
2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In God, we have access to an overcoming spirit, one that is powered by love and a sound mind. When we do his work, proclaim his word, represent his kingdom, we have all his power supporting us. We are safe in his hand. God has given us a spirit of love. This tells us a lot about the power he has given us. Many think of power in terms of how much we can control others, but Jesus' power is expressed in how much we can love and serve others. God has given us a sound mind. The ancient Greek word here had the idea of a calm, self-controlled mind, in contrast to the panic and confusion that comes in a fearful situation.
Number 10.
James 1 verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. In the previous two verses, James makes a useful analogy. He compares someone who hears God's word but doesn't do what it says to a man who forgets his own face immediately after looking into a mirror. Both ideas should seem ridiculous to us. Why look if you're not going to act on what you see? Why look if you aren't going to remember what you just saw? Here, James explains how believers ought to handle their study of the word of God. Christians should look intently into the perfect law, the law that gives freedom. When they routinely do that and obey what they see there, they will be blessed in what they do. Father, thank you for the consistency of your word. Empower us to so live that we can enjoy the promise of an abundant life. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.